Hello and welcome to Pilot Season, and this week, Alan, we are living under the gun. I'm Patrick Brogan, and alongside me is Alan Byrne. Hello, Alan Byrne.
Hello, Patrick. Welcome to the
What are we going to have
podcast.
singing?
It's a musical episode. No, I'm not going to sing.
No, I'm glad because, oh, that last
really
one.
sounded like Cartman.
Yeah, it got and I'm wearing noise reducing headphones that are really sensitive, so it's like, oh wow, not good. This week we're talking about musicals, some musicals, and cops. Imagine, if you will, Hill Street Blues smushed together with Glee. That's all I could think of was Glee. Because, I mean, I can't think of any other musical on television apart from that, and Glee is terrible. Actually, compared to this, Glee is... Oh, no, never mind. We'll get into that before we do this. Yeah, we're talking about Cop Rock, which was a 1990 American musical police drama series. It was a police drama series that was also a musical. Imagine, if you will, as I said, Hill Street Blues, Law & Order, The Wire... CSI, actually, CSI might actually break into song. He's more like a CSI thing. But imagine a serious police procedural where occasionally they sing, and it's not even really. It's not even really in like a musical thing. It's just occasionally there's a song that happens. That's Cop Rock, and Alan, I let me read my actual notes toward the end of this. It's like, what even is this? Make it end now, please.
Wow, you went through some trauma there.
I'll go to some of the very the caps lock notes that I went through in this. It's like, this is very uncomfortable. Ugh, more singing, less procedural. What even is this? What is the tone? What?
Yeah, this is kind of all over the place.
What is this meant to be? Goopy song and dance show or The Wire? This is bad dumb.
you started running out of adjective there, I see.
Yeah. I was exasperated. Alan, what did we just watch?
we watched one of the most notorious... flops in television history. It's what we just watched. The ABC ordered 11 episodes of this.
As I noticed.
Which had episode titles along the lines of Ill-Gotten Gains, Happy Mother's Day, Tree Corpse Meal, Copophiliac.
Oil of an Olay.
The Cocaine Mutiny.
Marital Blitz.
But here's the thing.
No news
with
is
titles
good
like this,
news.
You would expect a comedy, but it's not.
Oh, it's not. It is
100%
so not a comedy.
Straight up police procedural drama.
Except for that one scene.
We'll get to that.
It's
part of the episode.
We have to. It's how we... It's kind of part of the deal with the entire thing. It's like stereotypical police procedural thing. There's cops driving through a city at night. They're all talking on their radios. And they do a SWAT.
Yeah, yeah.
Bust of a crack den or something. And start
it's totally a crack house.
Start arresting all these people. There's a lady with a baby, and they take the baby from the lady, and they start yelling at her. And
she's all like, where's my baby going to go?
Yeah. And she becomes a key to the entire episode. This, Alan, doesn't it just seem like every other stock police drama
at
this point?
This is straight up generic 90s NYPD Blue, Hill Street Blues. And then, as they're dragging everybody out into the police cars, a musical number starts.
The men they just arrested, which... basically, a bunch of white cops arresting a bunch of black guys.
There is one black cop.
There is one. And Ernie Hudson later on. I'm really sad Ernie Hudson didn't sing. That would have been the best thing. They started singing a song that is a very. It really reminded me of Fight the Power by Public Enemy.
The main gist of the song is that they rule the streets, not the cops. They say that quite emphatically, repeatedly.
That's pretty much the line. And when that song ends, I am smacked right in the face with a big old hunk of
Yeah.
it's Randy Newman. Randy Newman's there. He's singing the theme tune. He wrote the theme tune and sung the theme tune. And it's basically a music video of Randy Newman singing a song called
Under the gun. Under the gun.
something by the gun. Under the gun. Under the gun. It's right in front of me, and I didn't actually notice
Now,
it.
Patrick, this isn't just Randy Newman. It's also a collaboration with Mike Post.
I noticed. He's in the video.
So two legends of music.
Yes. And I feel like there's like I gotta get on the Randy Newman horse
Yeah.
right about now. Cause
This is the time, Patrick.
I really, 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 really like Randy Newman. I'm a big fan of Randy Newman. I feel like he gets a really bad rap by a lot of people who just think of him as the guy who does music for Pixar movies. And he's such a more than that. He's a satirical songwriter. He's unfortunately known for like the song Short People and then Toy Story and other Pixar movies. And if you go in between his back catalog, it's so many such a social commentary songs, entire albums that really poke fun of. He did an album, Good Old Boys, that entirely pokes fun of, like it's a satire on basically racism. He's one of the greatest songwriters ever, basically, and he's from a family of composers. Thomas Newman, who does the Bond music. Or has done Bond music in the recent Bond movies, is his, I think, cousin. He's a fantastic musical pedigree, I think an underappreciated songwriter, because so many people can look at him and go, oh yeah, he's the we you got a friend in me guy. And he's and the Family Guy joke where it's like he just sings what he see he just sings describing what he sees, which is a terrible joke because it doesn't even it's not even a parody of Randy Newman. Go listen to Good Old Boys or Land of Dreams or Born Again, Sail Away, Bad Love, which is a great 1999 album of his, or the Randy Newman Songbook. He's a brilliant songwriter. And when he came up here, I was like, this is gonna make every song in this make sense because it'll. Yeah, I'll hear the Randy Newman through it, and I kind of like the opening song as well.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Like, it's a good Randy Newman song.
Catchy.
It's catchy, but it does not fit with anything.
Oh no.
And that is the problem with the show, as we'll go on and see. Also, Randy Newman did the theme tune to Monk,
Which is brilliant.
which is absolutely amazing.
Also, Monk is brilliant.
Monk is brilliant. He did the music for actually this is the second time I've seen a thing where Randy Newman has written the not only done the soundtrack but written the music for it. Because Princess and the Frog, he also did all the songs in that, and I'll have to admit, Princess and the Frog, the songs aren't the best. He can have off. I like Randy Newman, but sometimes he has off days, and Cop Rock is an off day in a lot of cases. There are like maybe two really good songs, and one of them is probably one that could be good, but the choice of singer is just doesn't suit it. I don't think. I think it'd be better as a Randy Newman song. Anyway, also Ernie Hudson's in this.
Eventually.
Eventually, it takes what like 20 minutes. Were you just waiting for Ernie Hudson like I was?
Yeah, I saw Ernie Hudson pop up and I was like, ooh, Ernie Hudson. His name appears after the credits, guest starring Ernie Hudson, and that really got my hopes up.
It's hard because Ernie Hudson is just, you don't get a lot of Ernie
And he's
Hudson.
always
He,
brilliant.
he's not in much. Yeah, because he's Ernie Hudson.
Anyway,
He's under, yeah. So
we
what
should go
happens
on.
when after the, yes, what happens after the Randy Newman music
Well,
video?
after the Randy Newman music video, we are back in police procedural land, where a prosecutor and a defense attorney are presenting the case to the judge, talking about whether or not the crack dealers should be allowed out on bail. And the judge says that the jail is stuffed full, and he doesn't think that they're going to be a flight risk or any harm, so he sets bail at 5 grand. And the lady whose baby was taken away, her name is Peggy, I think.
Patty. It's
Patty.
Patty. Because her name is
Yes.
Patricia.
She wants her baby back, but she can't get it until after,
Hooray back.
until later. Yeah, she wants her baby back, baby back. That was a perfect time to go into another song, right? When
Yes.
will they say ribs?
You'd think maybe they put a song in at this point.
No, we don't get a song for a while.
It's literally 20 minutes.
There's a huge gap between this and the next song where all we're getting is straight up cop drama.
It's actually it's literally 15 minutes in before you get I think before you get another song, because it's basically just cop procedural and a lot of they release these guys. There's like the baby lady and her problems and
And then it cuts to the precinct, and we've got a captain arguing with a detective over a court case that's coming up. And then the lady cop Vicky, who was talking to Patty, convinces the captain to let her go.
yeah.
And there's a nice little moment there where Vicky says to the captain, "You think I'm a sucker?" And he says, "I think there's worse things to be than a sucker."
Yeah, at this point the characters are kind of, the character you're giving the characters a bit of a license to be kind of likable, but the likability factor really drains away very quickly.
So Vicky and her partner, hang on, I had his name here, Andy, I think.
Officer sexual
Officer
harassment.
sexual harassment,
Yes.
are out on patrol, and she mentions her husband at some point.
Yeah, but this is before the guys are like, yeah, you know, I bet when you make love, you like it on top, and he said, wouldn't you like to know? And it's like, okay. And then it's like, I've got a husband, and he's like, up, I'll take my chances. Like, okay. You seem like a likable guy, and she doesn't come off all that great either. Especially when you meet her husband later. And this is the point where they go off and they chase a van.
A van driving dangerously, and they call for backup.
And one guy straight up pulled out a shotgun and is like, okay, this is just like back on the farm with my dad hunting. It's like, hold on. What?
You often hunt in high-speed chases? I'm sure it
I,
adds an element of danger to it in a wood.
you're taking your job a little bit too lightly here. You're a police officer. This isn't fun time. They chase him. They chase this guy, and he crashed into a playground. And then all of a sudden, dude whips out an Uzi and shoots a guy.
He shoots one of the cops.
Yes.
Not any of the cops we've been introduced to, though. Some other guy.
That happens a lot.
And his partner, whose name's Frank, goes to hold. Don't you die on me? But yeah, he dies.
Yeah.
Oops.
And
Should have listened to Frank.
Frank shouldn't have kept shaking him. That probably didn't help.
No. It probably did a bit more damage. That's not the recovery
No,
position.
as you can tell,
That's what you need for gunshots, right? The recovery position.
probably not.
I haven't done first aid.
So far, we have had Crack Den is busted, musical. Court scene. Woman wants her baby back. Drive-by shooting, essentially. And death. So the tone's everywhere, and then it gets worse.
Yeah, so they arrest the driver of the van, who has gotten away. The cop killer has. He Uzi'd and ran, which is pretty damn despicable, right?
Yeah.
He didn't even leave his insurance details.
That's not very courteous. But
No.
then it's like, this is where I wrote, this is very uncomfortable.
Yeah, they straight up waterboard this guy
With coffee.
with coffee. They plonk down a cup of coffee in front of him, and he's like, "I'm not thirsty anymore." And they say, "You're gonna drink it anyway," and just pour it straight down his throat.
Yeah. And he's like, I have to pee. I really have to pee. And he's like, you're gonna keep drinking coffee. Also, this was created by Stephen Botchko.
Yeah, the creator of Hill Street Blues and L.A. Law.
Which explains so much.
Yes.
And don't forget Doogie Howser. Like, this gets really dark really
Yeah,
quickly.
the cops even say we're violating your constitutional rights, so none of this is going to go to court.
Yeah, so wow.
So,
And it
yeah,
turns
they get
out,
a name out of him, and it was one of the crackheads from earlier.
yeah, it turned out it was some crackhead from earlier.
Thanks, narrative convenience.
And Frank, the buddy of the cop who got shot, is working out real hard, and the captain gives him a talk to go home and look after himself, and have his girlfriend look after him, and be nice, and stay away from the streets, because you're just gonna get in trouble, and we want you staying in the fort, is his actual line. Like, okay, I can understand if you wanted to do like a straight up, if you want to do a straight up cop show, do a cop show.
Well,
Where's my
you
musical?
can have serious musicals, Patrick. You can have
Oh yeah,
a
you
serious
can.
musical about the horrors of the French Revolution, for example.
Yeah, and how long is Les Misérables? It's like 3 days long.
Yeah.
And
And they've got all those intricate sets and Russell Crowe.
yes, every version
That
has
that's
Russell
what I
Crowe
hope
in it.
anyway.
But Les Mis is a proper musical. Like, it's all
And it's
singing.
totally consistent.
And it's exactly, this is not, because the first thing is like it's weird, but I guess it kind of makes sense. And then it's nothing, 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 and we don't even get a musical after the nine after this, because it's back with Patty, and she wants her baby back, and the captain talking about this guy's parents and or grandparent and his retarded brother, yeah, and wanting to put pressure on both of them, and then we have the captain and some other guy talking about Pete.
That's Ralph, the crime scene investigator, and while he's being he's also complaining about the state of the crime scene at the bust, and it's all shot from the back this entire scene, so you don't see anybody's
Yeah.
face or anything. Eventually, they go over to the.
Well, they are peeing at a urinal.
I'm not entirely sure why the scene had to be at a urinal to begin with. Is my point. Eventually, they go over to the sinks, and you can see their faces in the mirror.
Yes, and the captain has a hair on his
Yeah,
shirt that
it's
isn't
not his
his.
wife's either. It's some sort of other woman's hair, and that's
Oh.
all we hear of this.
Yeah. This show does this. It just kind of has scenes that just
Because
end.
it's true to life,
And
Patrick. It's all about the streets and who has the power within them.
I feel like Way Down in the Hole should play at some point. Just 'cause. This actually has a little bit of resonance to the next scene, because now I've realized that CSI guy
He is,
is
yes.
Vicky's husband, isn't he? Then Officer Sexual Harassment is talking to Vicky in the car afterwards, and he's all like, yeah, it's real sad how our friend is all dead now,
Sympathy bang, question mark?
pretty much. And she's all, I have no husband, but I think about you. Because he has this all, I think about you all the time. And she responds saying she thinks about him, and gets into the car, or out of the car even, and walks into her schlubby husband, who is the CSI guy from earlier. And I pretty much think he looks like her dad.
Yeah, there's an age gap there.
There is really an
Vicky looks
age
a good
gap.
20 years younger than him.
Yeah. And this is when we get a song cue.
Yep. We got a nice sad song about how lucky he is to be married to that wonderful lady.
And that the thing is, I can see this working as a Randy Newman song. Randy Newman has songs like this. When Somebody Loved Me, for example, is another example song that this reminds me of, which is that one from Toy Story 2 about that Sarah McLachlan
Oh
sings.
God, that one is so sad.
Yeah.
Okay, I looked it up, and yeah, Vicky is 20 years younger than the actor who plays Ralph.
Wow.
He was born April 26, 1947, and she was born December 12th, 1967. And I know maths on the podcast is not a strong suit, but I'm pretty sure that's 20 and a half years of an
Yeah.
age gap.
And there's Randy Newman has songs like, for example, Same Girl, kind of on that line. Also, Randy Newman, if you don't know, wrote I Think It's Going to Rain Today and Mama Told Me Not to Come, which you wouldn't realize were songs he wrote.
No, that Told Me Not to Come doesn't sound like Randy Newman at all. Well, it was nice of him to write that for Tom Jones.
Yeah,
Hey, do you think outside Andy is singing a song about being in the friend zone?
that would be a good time for a song about, how he's all frustrated that he's in love with someone. But no, inside we have a schlubby guy singing how he's all lucky to have this really beautiful girl who is like way out of his league. And
And she loves him completely
yeah.
and certainly isn't thinking about banging her partner.
Hubris. Yeah,
That's going to be a source of drama eventually, possibly. I don't know.
it feels like a song. Like if, I was trying to, I'm blanking on what song it reminds me of, another Randy Newman song, but it feels very Randy Newman-ish, and it feels like it would work better because this guy has a very, he has a nice, but not good
Yeah,
voice, I would
it's
say.
grand.
It's very,
He can sing,
yeah,
but it's nothing special.
yeah. It's an unremarkable vocal performance, really, and I feel like in Randy Newman sort of. In Randy Newman's voice, that's a song that sounds really good. But in someone else's, not really. But this is when, after 22 minutes, we meet Ernie Hudson.
Yay!
And how do we find Ernie
Well,
Hudson, Alan?
because he is waking a sleeping Ronnie Cox. Ronnie Cox is the chief of police and sleeps with a Colt 45, apparently. Oh, sorry, Colt
On
51.
his couch in his office.
I took that note because he has bought the guns that belong to Bill Hickok.
This should have been a jukebox musical, and they could have used Steve Earle's "The Devil's Right Hand" right about now.
Also, can I talk about how much I love Ronnie Cox?
Yes, you can.
Ronnie Cox is great. Listeners, you might be familiar with him from being the CEO of the evil company in RoboCop. He was in Star Trek as well. He was the guy who took over the Enterprise when Captain Picard was a Borg. He was in Deliverance as well. That was his acting debut. Also, personally, my favorite role of his is when he was Senator, later Vice President Kinsey in Stargate SG-1. And he's just delightfully evil in that. But not like scenery doing evil like David Hyde Pierce was last week, just bureaucratically evil. Anyway, Ronnie Cox is a musician. His first role was Deliverance, and he was hired partly because he was able to play guitar so that they could do the dueling banjo scene. And he doesn't sing, Patrick!
I was going to say that there is
He
no
does
singing.
not get a song. Why?
Well, you kind of have to wonder going through all of this. Like there are places where there should be songs and characters who should get songs to possibly express their emotional state at the time, but they don't get them. Like Officer Sexual Harassment should probably get a song, doesn't get one.
Ronnie Cox sounds like he's about to break into song in a
Ronnie
later
Cox.
scene where he's given a press conference, but doesn't.
Oh, also Ronnie Cox has a quick
Yes!
draw mannequin.
I want to see a show about Ronnie
Well,
Cox as chief of police just doing all this cowboy stuff.
literally,
He's got
it comes
covered.
out of his like cupboard, and he quick draws with it.
And then he wins the draw, and there's some video game noises. And the cowboy's all like, "Oh, you shot me, partner. Tell my wife I loved her."
Yeah,
Yeah, I want
that's
to
a thing
show
that
it's
happens in
Ronnie
this.
Cox, chief of police, and Ernie Hudson as his aide. And Ernie Hudson's there trying to get Ronnie Cox to do all that stuff, but he just wants to be a cowboy.
I want more of that.
Yes.
Less of the serious police drama stuff and more of like Ronnie Cox, crazy cowboy obsessed police of Shalief, police of Shalief, chief of police. And this is the because we aren't far from another song,
No.
because we get the mayor.
Yes, there's a press conference, and Ronnie Cox is all the, oh, this is the judge's fault because he said that the prison was too full, and the mayor comes up. He's talking to the mayor, but not to the mayor. He's talking to the microphones. It's kind of a weird conversation.
Yeah, and then we cut to the mayor,
No, she's there beside
and
him.
the mayor said, "Oh,
And she
beside
walks up to
him."
the podium then, and she gives the press conference, talking back to the chief of police via the medium of press conference. It's
Yeah.
the public relations equivalent of, could you tell, could you tell Patrick that I'm not speaking to him?
Really is, and she has the largest
Yes.
hair in the world. She looks like Margaret Thatcher, but like if you thinned down Thatcher and gave her Sideshow Bob hair, you'd have the mayor of this of Los Angeles in this massive 80s hair.
The mayor was in L.A. Law, I think. Barbara Bossin. No, she was in Hill Street
And she's
Blues.
not really a singer.
Yes, as we discover, because she promises to build a prison on this very spot where the press conference is happening. So that's nice. Within 12 months, there will be a huge prison, and they'll name it after the dead cop. And then she goes. It cuts to her office where she is meeting with a developer.
And they get like a song that's
They sing a nice song about bribery.
it's got a kind of, I don't know, Motowny vibe, maybe. And one thing I noticed about this is that one, a few things I noticed about this scene. One, the mayor's a terrible singer. The bribey guy is a good singer. One of the backing singers, it looks like Paul F. Tompkins. And the use of the briefcase full of money is like the exact opposite of how they use a briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Literally, they show the inside of that briefcase 1,000 times.
But like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction, it does glow. A green light comes out of the briefcase every time the property developer opens it because it's filled with money.
The money is like literally, it's literally like in segments. Like it's placed in special little money slots,
With lights around it.
which means there's considerably less money in there than there could be if they didn't have lights in the thing.
Also, during the course of the song, the mayor has some doubts, maybe, but then she doesn't because she gets the money and makes
This is true. It's not Randy Newman's best work either. I'm just gonna put that out
I
there.
think Randy
It's.
Newman's best work comes later.
Oh yeah, I want I oh that song and dance number is the, literally the best. But we have to get way through this stupid thing about
Yes.
Patty
Yeah,
and
we
her
have to wait through the
baby.
stupid, boring plot.
She comes along and she's like, "I've got some info on the guy what shot your cop friend," and the police captain says to her baby, "Who's this little person?"
Are you a tiny businessman, sir?
That is the weirdest thing to say to a child. Like, who is this little person you are holding? It's a baby.
You have custody of this dwarf?
Is this your husband or some sort or something? Oh no, it's a girl. Never mind. Also, drug addict. Baby's name is Crystal.
But she, but did they even have meth in 1990?
She's on crack, so I guess it kind of works. She only gets like she basically. She wants money for her testimony, and they give her $50 up front and $50 later on if it works out. Spoilers, doesn't work out. So she only gets $50, and I presume she spends it on crack because she's a crack mother, I guess.
She's all about the crack.
Also, Armin Shimerman's in
Yeah!
this.
And he doesn't sing either. And he has the weirdest comb over.
Also, a name I find hard to say, Armin Shimerman. Pretty difficult to say really quickly, but he's in this to on a case that I didn't even realize was happening as a plot.
It was mentioned very briefly earlier, but it's just in the background scene. The captain was talking about this case earlier.
Okay, so explain this because I missed it.
So what happened is that one of the cops w went into a place. It might even been the crack den earlier, but he got shot in the arm while busting this guy. And there may or may not have been some misconduct. We're not sure. But it does lead to a very interesting cross-examination. The cop goes on a huge rant as soon as the defense attorney starts talking to him about possible misconduct. He even says the phrase, "You don't live in LA, folks. You live in Vietnam. It's a war zone out there, Patrick, and he is fighting the good fight, and he gets the job done. He gets results, damn it."
I believe, Alan, it's a jungle out there. Disorder and confusion everywhere. No one seems to care, but he does. Look, who's in charge here? People think he's crazy because he worries all the time, but if you paid attention, you'd be worried too. You'd better pay attention, or this world you love so much might just kill you. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so. It's a jungle out there. It's a jungle out there.
Yeah, this was not a cue for a song.
No,
But
but
it's coming.
really could have been.
Yeah, there are so many missed opportunities here for songs.
You could literally have had "It's a Jungle Out There"
Yeah.
right there.
It fits
And
so
that scene
well.
just ends
Yeah,
on his little
they cut back
thing.
to the precinct, and Paddy wants the other 50, but Tyrone was not
Yeah.
there. And
Yeah.
Vicky has to be stern with her because Paddy is the queen of guilt trips.
Yeah. Damn crack mothers always.
She has this huge rant about how everybody says sorry, but they don't help her.
And she's like, oh, but to be fair, Vicky's always trying to get her to go into a
Yeah.
drug rehabilitation thing, and but she says, "I'll lose my baby, and there's no one to look after it." I was like, why would she lose her baby going into the drug rehabilitation thing? I mean, couldn't they work around that? I don't know. I don't understand how that works,
The baby's an enabler. That's the problem, Patrick.
but after that,
We go back to court.
yeah, it's time for it. It's time for the jury to deliver its verdict.
Hit
Actual line the judge says, and then I think the stenographer comes up on a piano and starts playing a gospel song breaks out, and it is
He's
glorious.
guilty, Judge. He's guilty. Oh, I love this scene.
The entire there's a gospel choir, the judge is singing, the criminal is pleading his case, and it's
Yeah, in counterverse.
in yes. It is exactly what I thought this show would be. It's full of, it's really like live. It's like really lively and kind of and humorous, and
Best scene of this show.
really is it.
This is what Cop Rock should have been.
It yeah, it's a, it's like this real cool kind of gospel thing, and the even like the at the very end the defendant just drops his he just basically head plants into the desk because it's all lost, and it really I'll probably drop in the audio from that here because it's exactly what the show should have been.
I want to make it clear.
Guilty.
I want to thank the jury.
He's guilty.
And I'd like to thank my
Guys,
wife.
I don't recommend watching this, but watch the don't watch the whole episode. Watch this scene on YouTube and think about what could have been.
Yeah. Literally, the judge says, "Hit it."
It's
And
brilliant.
a piano is flipped open. And the jury starts singing about how guilty this man is. And he can't, and oh, this is literally what this show should have been. But then, oh, we have to go back to the plot. Stupid plot about stupid dead cop. And we're in, I guess, Compton. There's a bunch of cops running around in a house. And they enter the house, and that's where the criminal they're looking for
Yep,
is.
but the cops
But
went in without a warrant because they thought he was going
yes,
to get away, and then they conducted an illegal search.
and they literally took the gun out of the toilet, which apparently where it was,
Got their
and they're
fingerprint.
throwing it around.
How are these guys cops?
I don't know. They are the literally worst cops.
And they rightly get chewed out by their commanding officer, LaRusso.
Yes. Who then?
He sends them to the car to think about what they did.
And then he straight up murders the guy.
Yes!
Just straight up shoots him. He just walks back in and is like,
"Hey, Donnie, will you pick him up?" And then he pulls out his service pistol and shoots him.
Straight up murders him.
And then picks up the Uzi and starts wiping the prints off. And he tells his partner, Donnie, that Donnie wasn't there, but Donnie was there.
Oh, Donnie was there. Straight up murder. Just right out, just shoots the guy. He's dead. And wow and damn. This is literally after a goofy song and dance number.
A holy tonal shift, Batman.
Yeah. Either be a serious police procedure or a serious musical or be a stupid cop musical. Make up your mind, Cop Rock.
We're talking to you from our lofty position 25 years in the future.
The benefit of hindsight tells us you should not have made these choices. And then we cut back. We have the police chief talking about all these deaths, and I guess they feel vindicated by the fact the guy is dead, and Vicky's husband is actually covering up by telling someone.
Yeah, some guy comes in. I think he's like the DA, maybe, or from Internal Affairs. But yeah, he sees cuff marks on Tyrone's body, and Ralph says, "Oh yeah, those are about 3 days old. It's from when he was arrested at the start of the show."
Yeah, and
they're
the
certainly not fresh.
And the guy doesn't believe him, and he goes out and he has a word with LaRusso, and LaRusso's basically like, "Yeah, prove it." In a very much, "Yes, I did shoot that guy.
I committed murder.
What you gonna do about it?"
Internal affairs. The first thing he asks is if Internal Affairs believes him. It believes his story, and yeah. Then what you gonna do?
They believe me. I believe me. No one believes you. Yeah, I shot the guy. What you gonna do, cop? Arrest me? I'm a cop. Cops can't arrest cops. That's not how it works. You can only arrest non-cops.
Wow, this show.
Yeah. And the show ends with Patty singing to her baby before she sells it.
I'm sorry. That caught me off guard.
He straight up sells the baby.
Yes, she's... sings a sad song to her daughter about how much life sucks, and then this guy called Glenn comes up to the bench that she's on and is like, $200, yeah? Okay, right. they really like her. They bought a car seat. Unlike you,
yeah.
Patty. Where's your car seat?
Where's your car seat on that bench you apparently live on? Where's your bench car seat?
And her last words to her child are, "Don't hate me, baby." And then smash to the end theme. Which the opening theme is all nice and cheery and happy. So
I'm going to be honest, I didn't actually watch the end theme. Well, the minute she sold the baby, I closed the tab.
It's the opening theme. It's back to that. Which, again, tonal shift. Wow.
This was edited in a mixer.
Patrick, this won an Emmy for editing.
They literally threw scenes into a tumbler, pulled them out, stuck them together, and said, "That's a show."
This episode won an Emmy for editing.
Why?
Well, there was some great editing in that courtroom scene. It also won an Emmy for outstanding achievement in music and lyrics, which apparently there are Emmys for.
I don't know. Maybe the other songs, the better songs later on in the
series.
No,
the pilot.
Oh, this episode.
This episode won. It was also nominated for the episode Oil of Ole in the same category.
Well, of the, what, four, song, five songs in it, I mean...
The He's Guilty song deserved the Emmy. I mean, come on.
Yes, that's a good song. The clothing song is really nice, but why is it even, why is it there?
No, it's a nice song, but what the hell kind of tone are we going for here, guys?
Under the Gun is a, the opening one is probably, the opening one and the bribery one are probably the weakest.
I like the silliness of the bribery one.
I like the
property developer just waving the briefcase around. Look, I got a briefcase. What's inside? It's money. Look, it glows. It's just ridiculous.
Randy Newman has done better work than this.
Oh yeah.
Like, even his Pixar work is better than this. I mean, like, he gets a lot of flack, which I think is undeserved. Yeah, this is the guy he's done. Other than this, he did the music for things like the Three Amigos and Awakenings, Maverick, Toy Story, James and Giant Peach, Michael. Remember Michael?
Wait, what? No. What's Michael?
Michael is the John Travolta is an angel movie.
Oh yeah, I completely forgotten about that.
He did Meet the Parents, Monsters Inc., Seabiscuit, Cars. He's doing Toy Story 4.
Well,
obviously. Monsters University, and a bunch of other things. He's done better. Also, he comes under the Wikipedia category of Jewish atheists, which is a thing I learned today. As well as American satirists, and best original song Academy Award winning songwriters, and what else is fun in here? Songwriters Hall of Fame of inductees. I will always argue Randy Newman gets a bum rap from some people, and is a really good songwriter, and is justifiably held in very high regard. And this is, there's some, I guess, bog standard Randy Newman in this, but I feel like they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, like we said earlier in the episode, the songs and the tone of the show don't fit together. It's not peanut butter and chocolate. It's peanut butter and tar.
Yeah.
It just does not taste good. Aesthetically.
If you wanted to go with a kind of satirical, caustic musical, Randy Newman could do that. He can very much do caustic. Go listen to My Life is Good, which is a send-up of like basically terrible, snobby, upper-class, rich parents. He can do that. This has, I feel like they got him to write a bunch of songs about characters and then cram an episode of Hill Street Blues around it. Because it's really what it feels like.
Ernie Hudson's character actually got recast in the remaining 10 episodes of the show. I presume it was because Ernie Hudson had other commitments, or only signed on for the pilot and then abandoned ship. He's replaced by Vondi Curtis Hall, who was recently in fantastic in Daredevil. He played Ben Urich in that, and just really good as the one honest reporter on the Not Daily Bugles team, and also as a dinosaur in a dying medium. There's like, guys, seriously, Daredevil's great. Best Marvel production. But that's complete aside. This is a,
yeah, I,
oh, oh, I don't understand. I don't understand how they got this so wrong.
I don't know.
Because you can do serious musicals on TV.
Buffy did it. This is such a miscue. I was expecting this to be kind of, given the title being Cop Rock,
oh, yeah.
I expected it to be a lot more lighthearted than it turned out to be. Because you don't call a show cop rock and then open it with
who
you know,
sell their babies for 200
crackhead mothers who need to sell their babies and have straight up cops murdering people. I'm looking at the list right now and I'm thinking
no.
It's not quite Hail Honey, I'm Home. But it's
on,
worse than Pope
bring
Town.
Up my copy of the list and
this is a bottom half. This is definitely a bottom feeding.
Yeah, they just
episode.
They got so off.
Yeah, I can't decide if better or worse than Pope Town. I said worse just a second ago, but I'm trying to decide.
I kind of want to watch more of it. It's car wreck TV is what it is. That's the thing. I'm grimly fascinated with where this show went.
Yeah. So if we look, say...
Yeah, this is no end stuff.
I would say from Naked Jungle to Hail Honey, I'm Home is kind of the range we're talking.
I think I'd put between Justice League and Darkman.
Yeah. I would have... I was initially going to pitch... second from bottom, but now I'm looking at
Days
that
like
and saying,
Days
Like These was second from bottom.
Yeah, third from bottom. You know what this has over Days Like These? It
Kuczynski
made me laugh.
Is.
It also made me laugh.
What's it got over Kuczynski?
It won an Emmy for editing, which I don't think you could ever accuse Darkman of getting.
Yeah, and so what? Justice League
had a consistent tone. It was a terrible tone, but it was consistent.
Probably,
it was consistently terrible.
Yeah,
it was consistently naked.
And Naked Jungle was consistent in being a naked.
No.
Being a naked game show, there wasn't really much
now
of a tonal shift
round
you could do with that. Unless it was suddenly, and now we'll put on clothes round.
Yeah, she stayed down in the hole forever.
Oh, there was that one woman who fell, and we never
she's
saw her.
She's still there
again.
Now, on the dismantled set of Jungle Run.
Yes. Yeah. About, what is it? That was 1990, that was what, 1999? It's like 16
yes.
years later. So 26th, I think this is where we're gonna put Cop Rock. But Cop Rock goes not quite rock bottom, but not too far off as it enters the list at number 26 between the Justice League of America and Darkman.
Our top 10.
Nowhere near affecting our number one, which is still our top 10, or our number one, which is still The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. So, as soon as I can get next week's list open,
I would also have to open the list.
Week.
One of us should really be prepared. Yes. Next week, we are doing...
Down.
Emily's Reasons Why Not.
I have now, too.
A sitcom pilot that was cancelled while it was airing.
That sounds interesting, doesn't it? While it was airing. That's confidence for you. I look forward to doing that. That's been another episode of Pilot Season. I have been Patrick Brogan. You can find me at theunemployedhistorian.com, at nerdvice.com, at ortygomerproductions.com, at youtube.com, and other places ending in .com, where I am often found. You can find this podcast at itunes.com. Oh, yeah, it's got .com. And Stitcher.
iTunes is a
and
program.
Stitcher.com. And rssfeeds.com. Feedburner.com. That's a .com. I don't know. You can find me at places, and mainly the website. You can find me there. Alan, if people wanted to find you and pitch to you a series where meth or crystal, not crack addicted mothers sell their babies and sing sad songs, how would they do that?
Isn't that the X Factor?
Yeah, now it is.
I'm pretty sure that's the X Factor. Well, you can find me on Twitter, where I'm at Alan Bairne, which is spelled A-L-A-N-B-E-I-R-N-E, or as I like to call it, properly.
Something must have happened to Alan recently, because he's been really selling that whole, this is how my name is spelled, guys. It's not spelled B-Y-R-N-E.
I had to check into a hotel, and people cannot read.
That is true, Alan Bairne.
I'm also on Tumblr, where my Tumblr is alanbairne.tumblr.com, or I've got a website, which is albairne.com, but I sold it to a guy named Glenn for 200 quid. He's got a car seat for it, so, you know, he's going to look after it better than I did. Bye.
Truly, truly the saddest story of all. We'll be back next week with more stuff and things, internet people. Goodbye. That's like a very angry ending. I'm not really angry at you, internet. Well, not all of you. Tears and rain, precious memories of years gone by.